The first reading from Wisdom today asks a lot of questions. It was written only about 50 years prior to the birth of Jesus. And listen to the questions. Who knows God's counsel? Who can conceive of what the Lord intends? Things of heaven, who can search them out? Almost 80 years after this was written, Jesus began his public ministry and began to answer those questions. He revealed the wisdom of God in person. He revealed the greatest commandment to those who argued about which was the greatest, love of God above all things and one's neighbor as oneself. He revealed the Beatitudes, that earthly things are far less important than heavenly things. And he revealed something challenging, that the good news consists in suffering. That may not seem like good news to us, but the truth is that the world since the fall of Adam and Eve has always consisted of suffering. What Jesus did is to take that suffering upon himself and give meaning to it. Over the last week or so, I feel like I've been immersed in suffering. From a friend whose mother is dying, to another who got a cancer diagnosis, to another with severe mental health issues, and I suffer with them. That's the word compassion means. Passio is the Latin word for suffering, so compassion means to suffer with someone. But ultimately, all suffering points to the passion of the cross. Jesus makes that abundantly clear in the gospel today by giving us three conditions to being his disciple. Let's go through them one by one and try to make sense of them in our own lives. The first condition for someone who comes to Jesus is to hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life. Now, how do we jibe this with the fifth commandment, to honor one's father and mother? Or with St. Paul's command to love one's wife as Christ loves the church? And how can we hate our children and our brothers and sisters? To understand it, we have to know that Semitic languages like Aramaic and Hebrew didn't have words for comparatives or superlatives. You couldn't say you must love your friends, love your wife and children more, and love God most. It wasn't in the language. To show a superlative, you said you must love God and hate everything else. In practice, it means that God has to be our priority. He's number one. It's probably easier for me because I don't have a wife or children. God is the first thing I think of in the morning and the last thing I think at night. My routine of daily prayer, Liturgy of the Hours, and Eucharistic devotion help me keep him there. Those of you with wives and children have to make difficult choices. But things like skipping Mass on vacation to spend more time with your children, or skipping Mass so you can tailgate at a football game with your friends, might reveal a different priority. I have to be here for Mass. But you are also commanded to keep holy the Lord's Day. And it's not just Sunday. We're called to make Jesus our priority every day. And the second condition of discipleship, to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Now, we may hear this in a figurative way, but Jesus is doing two things here. First, he's preparing his disciples for what will happen to him when he does, in fact, carry his cross. And he's being literal. The Greek word he uses for cross is staros, and it literally means the crossbeam of a Roman cross. It represents unspeakable pain, humiliation, and suffering. His followers would have been shocked by what he said. And many of those listening, including Philip, James, Andrew, and Peter, would indeed carry their cross, all dying by crucifixion. Christians around the world are being persecuted today at a tremendous rate, especially in Africa, China, and the Middle East. If we were given a choice to proclaim Jesus as Lord and die, or renounce him and live, what would we choose? God willing, we hope never to face such a circumstance, but it's happening to Christians our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ every day? What would we do? And finally, to be a disciple of Jesus means to renounce all of our possessions. Now, for some, like consecrated religious, this means not owning anything. But it would be irresponsible of parents, of children, to give everything away. Even diocesan priests have to provide for our retirement. But we can understand renouncing our possessions as something that we do with our hearts and our minds. We are only stewards of our possessions. We receive them, we manage them, and then we leave them to others when we die. Possessions and money are not evils, but loving them is the root of all evil. They're just things of earthly value. Our souls are of eternal value. We've all heard this gospel before. We know a lot about Jesus. We knew his mother, where he was born, where he grew up, and what he taught. We know about his apostles, and we know about his antagonists. We know who condemned him to die, how he died, how he rose from the dead, how he ascended to the Father and sent us the Holy Spirit. We know he promised to come again. But being a disciple of Jesus isn't about what we know. Being a disciple of Jesus is about what we do.